As spring gives way to summer, as the light green leaves of one season become the richer, darker green of another, as the calendar flips from May and June toward July, I just can't help thinking about Slavko Vorkopich. Vorkopich was the guy who made the seasons change and the time pass in the movies in Hollywood in the 1930s and 40s. He was Hollywood's leading montage director. That was his title. He was the guy in the first 20 years of talkies who advanced the story or enhanced the ideas with images rather than words.
You'd have a case going to trial, and suddenly there'd be a sudden splash on the screen. It'd be a big newspaper headline, so-and-so tried for murder. Da, 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 da.
According to film critic and author Andrew Saras, there was nothing unusual about the idea of certain sequences being farmed out by the director to someone else.
There were all kinds of divisions of labor. Films were a factory, you know, with specialized tasks and so forth. Directors were concerned with the actors, and this didn't involve the actors.
The conventions of these montage sequences became like visual shorthand for a whole generation, or two, or three.
And they were tied up to a certain kind of musical format, too. You know, very dramatic, really melodious music.
Hi.
Goodbye, Harry.
Goodbye, Harry.
Thanks for the souvenir.
In the film Idiot's Delight, Vorkopich's assignment was to put Clark Gable's character Harry Van on a train in 1929 and tell us about his adventures for the next 10 years, all in 4 minutes. His montage for that film features melting calendar pages with big numbers, superimposed over train tracks, newspaper headlines, and passing bucolic and urban scenery. We learn the whole trajectory of his life and the history of the time as well. The stock market crash, the depression, dance halls, street life. Magically, the movie then picks up in 1939. In Meet John Doe, a little later, Vorkopich was asked to document the rise and exploitation of Gary Cooper's innocent Mr. Doe. Vorkopich used those ubiquitous newspaper headlines, but also cash registers, close-ups of money changing hands, coins dropping into slots, with Barbara Stanwyck, the journalist, typing it all up, of course, tap, tappity tap. And all of it photographed at rakish angles, graphs moving up, 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 then hordes of followers gathering in Washington, storming the mayor's office to demand John Doe's appearance.
I still say that this John Doe person is a myth, and you can quote me on that.
Slavko Vorkopich had come to Hollywood in the 20s from Serbia, where he'd been born in the last decade of the 19th century. He was a painter and experimental filmmaker, having achieved early distinction in 1928 as designer, co-director, and editor of The Life and Death of 9413, a Hollywood extra. The film was produced at night in Vorkopich's kitchen, using miniatures made of household objects. The theme? The depersonalized, factory-like Hollywood system. It attracted so much attention that Vorkopich was offered a job in that very same depersonalized, factory-like Hollywood. And Vorkopich rose to considerable heights as a montage man. In fact, the movie Shopworn Angel even opens with a Vorkopich montage, unusual for the time.
It's war! War! War!
In this World War I is declared montage, there is an especially bizarre Vorkopichian contrivance. A huge ocean wave dissolves to literally a sea of newspapers with the headlines War, War. The newspaper wave crashing like a breaker on shore. And it goes on, soldiers marching, first in street clothes, then in uniform. Finally, a few minutes into it, history having been told, mood established, the real movie begins. Vorkopich created the famous Lincoln Memorial scene in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, as well as the battle scene in the Ingrid Bergman Joan of Arc. Later, he used those sequences as the basis for his classes at the University of Southern California, where he became a kind of film aesthetics guru, eventually running the film program there in 1949, arguing for pure cinema, which relied on images and rhythm, not words.
I'll never forget the first lecture.
Filmmaker Art Sverdlov was his student then, and later his disciple.
I was completely taken over by what he had to say about the art of the cinema. I had thought it was a literary dramatic art, but basically he pointed out the art of the film was really a rhythmic organization of moving images.
Vorkopich's reputation as a lecturer grew until his public lectures in the 60s and 70s drew large crowds to places like the Museum of Modern Art. Andy Warhol and his followers could be found at the Vorkopich lectures. The late Conrad Hall, the cinematographer, was a major follower of his principles of pure cinema. Vorkopich believers even now tend to be hyperbolic about his contribution.
He was the greatest theorist of motion picture art that we've had. Still is.
So, you may ask, did this cult figure, montage artist, aesthetician, who died in the early 70s, ever manage to direct his own film?
He had an opportunity in Yugoslavia to make a feature film. It wasn't very good. He could not master the dramatic art. I thought he was terrible when it came to story.
But give him the job of constructing a montage dramatizing the San Francisco earthquake? No problem.
Well, I think one of the ironies is that today he'd be right at home. I mean, he'd be in charge of special effects, and he'd be in seventh heaven because there's no dialogue, intelligent dialogue anymore to distract you from the visual.
For a couple of decades, Vorkopich had the perfect job for him. He put a little wordless poetry, a little old-school cinematic flourish into the studio movies in those days. Now, in this special effects mad, time-distorting culture, he'd be a major star. Vorkopich took the visual language he learned from silent movies in Eastern Europe and used it to create a style that was both foreign and ultimately hilariously familiar. Seasons changing, gossip spreading, news breaking, long journey on foot compressed into 2 minutes. For such things in Hollywood in the old days, the frequent cry was, "Get me Vorkopich." For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkill.